The Office of Personnel Management has heard the complaints loud and clear about the customer service from Windvale and CSID. Those are the companies that are providing credit monitoring services after the 4 million person data breach. OPM Director Catherine Archuleta tells senators she's doing everything she can to ensure current and former federal employees are getting the responses to their questions about that breach. Federal News Radio's executive editor joins me now to discuss just how OPM is improving performance of its contractors. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so this is kind of like the secondary explosion after the data breach itself, I guess. And CSID and Windvale have come under a lot of criticism. In fact, yesterday, right on this show, Senator Mark Warner said he's heard from constituents saying they're complaining of two-hour wait times on the telephone. What's OPM doing to make sure they get better?
Right. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Mark Warner wrote that letter to both OPM. AFGE wrote a letter to OPM saying, listen, these customer service efforts are not up to par. We need better customer service. I mean, this comes after time. You know, we've talked about and we reported the fact that there's some questions surrounding the contract award to Windvale and CSID. And now these complaints of website crashes, long wait times, as you mentioned, other problems, including one just that came up recently of somebody not getting their letter. It got sent to the wrong address. So the question is, whether is CSID really up for the challenge? Now, Archuleta tells the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Financial Services and General Government Tuesday that, yes, she believes CSID is highly qualified. She points to the way the company handled the Sony breach notification as just one example why she's confident in their abilities. But at the same time, Archuleta says she's frustrated and angry about the delays and problems.
I want to be sure that they're doing everything they can to reduce those wait times, and that's why I have instructed my CIO and her team to work with that contractor to improve daily the services they're giving to our employees. Our employees should not have to experience that, and that is why we are demanding from our contractor that they improve their services. I do believe, sir, because of the conflation of two incidences that we have had an unusual number of phone calls, but that's not an excuse. Our contractor should be able to perform to that number, and we're demanding that it do so.
Now, to that end, Archuleta says OPM is reviewing its processes and procedures and trying to learn from that first breach impacting 4 million current and former feds as it prepares for the breach notification for what some news organizations have reported maybe as many as 18 million people. Now, Archuleta would not confirm how many people are impacted by the second breach, but she says OPM is examining a range of options, talking to people like the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, employee groups and unions, for how should they improve how they should send out the notifications, provide credit monitoring services for those victims of the second breach. Now, Tom, she did not offer any details of what those wide range of options may be, but we can, I'm sure, guess. You know, the next notification, for instance, will not tell people to go to a .com site. I think that was a mistake everyone recognizes. The email will look more official, will come from a .gov web, you know, email address, or directly from OPM versus the one that says something like opmcio@csid.com. Those are all kind of confusing to people and not understand, is this real or is this a phishing attack? Archer also says the entire process of offering credit monitoring for those first 18 months, sending out emails, postal notifications for the 4 million affected current and former feds, is costing anywhere between $19 and $21 million. We know the contract to Windvale CSID was for about $21 million. So if you think that the number is really up to that $14, $18 million, this could cost OPM, you know, $60, $80, $100 million to do that second notification. And that's an incredible amount of money, Tom.
Okay, so hearing yesterday, a couple of hearings today, more hearings tomorrow, 3 days of hearings about the cyber breach. What did we learn yesterday that we didn't know already?
Yeah, without a doubt, OPM Director Catherine Archuleta, her staff, will be busy. She comes before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee today for a second time. Then Thursday, tomorrow, she appears before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and the senators in that committee will have their turn to ask about the breach. There's also a classified briefing yesterday after the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearing, so this is making its way around Capitol Hill. So what's happening? What do we know new from the hearing? Well, there's a few drips and drabs that have come out as lawmakers have asked questions. I think the biggest one from yesterday builds on something we learned last week about how the hackers were able to get into OPM's network and why encryption would not have mattered anyways. Archuleta offers these few more details about how the hackers got into OPM and Interior's data center.
I want to be very clear that while the adversary leveraged a compromised key point user credential to gain access to OPM's network, we don't have any evidence that would suggest that Keypoint as a company was responsible or directly involved in the intrusion. We have not identified a pattern or material deficiency that resulted in the compromise of the credentials. And since last year, we have been working with Keypoint, and they have taken strides in securing its network and have been proactive in meeting the additional security controls that we have asked them to use to protect all of the background data.
Now, at the hearing last week, Tom, we found out that it was a contractor breach that gave the hackers the keys to the kingdom, if you will. And interesting enough, you know, the other thing that was interesting from this hearing yesterday, Tom, was they went through the five different attempted or successful hacks that were going after OPM data. I mean, when you look back now, and I know hindsight is 2020, there was a clear sign of something was happening bad. So let me just go through that timeline real quick. Now, OPM said they first discovered an attempted cyber attack back in March 2014. OPM says it found hacker activity, but no personal data was lost. Well, at that point, something should have been done, because then USIS, the former security clearance contractor, suffered their breach in 2014 that went after this type of a security clearance data. Keypoint, another security clearance contractor, suffered a breach in August 2014. And now we're learning today more about the Keypoint breach. And then there was the other two breaches, Tom, that happened that we're talking about, why we're talking about this even at all today, the initial database and then the security contractor, the security clearance information all attacking OPM. But the other piece that also popped up yesterday was we know now Keypoint's also involved in the Homeland Security Department data breach, and this is separate from OPM. This affects about 390,000 DHS current and former employees. Now, we first learned of this breach back in June earlier in this month, but now we find out that the breach impacted mostly employees of the Customs and Border Protection, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the Transportation Security Administration. In a recent email sent to employees that Federal News Radio obtained, DHS highlights that, yes, this was a separate breach from OPM, and current and former employees should be notified by Postal Service. The key difference, Tom, is they're using Postal Service, not an email address. I did ask DHS spokesman S.Y. Lee for more information. He says the intrusion turned up in September 2014 while they were conducting an assessment of Keypoint's network. They immediately stopped the flow of information and put some mandatory safeguards in place. Lee says it's unclear whether employees lost information or not, but DHS is offering credit monitoring services as a precaution. So the contractor plays a role in two major breaches. What came out yesterday at the hearing before the Senate, Tom, was one more bit of information that, yes, OPM actually shares a bigger piece of the responsibility as well. We found out that the state of OPM's legacy systems is not as bad as they said it was. You know, at the last hearing, Archuleta and OPM CIO Donna Seymour told House lawmakers their technology was basically too old to use new cyber technology, cyber protections. But Michael Esser, the assistant IG for audits, tells Senate lawmakers yesterday that OPM can't entirely blame their legacy systems. Listen to this exchange between John Boozman, the senator and chairman of the subcommittee, and Esser.
Ms. Archuleta mentioned that the problem with the legacy systems, which I think we all understand. But isn't it true that several of what was breached were not legacy systems, that with the right tools in place would not have been breached?
Yes, sir. Based on our audit work.
So the idea that this is all legacy and stuff is really not the case.
Well, there are many legacy systems at OPM. I mean, I don't want to give the wrong impression. I mean, that's a fact. But based on the work that we've done in our audits and ongoing work that we're doing, it's our understanding that a few of the systems that were breached are not legacy systems. They're modern systems that current tools could be implemented on.
Now, Boozman says the fact that the legacy systems could have been upgraded but weren't is a management problem that OPM needs to fix. Again, he was waiting to learn more at the classified session yesterday after the hearing.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, OPM has been trying to fix its technology infrastructure for the last 2 years. And so what are the IG's concerns about this whole program of the technology upgrade?
Well, OPM is in the second of a three-year plan. Part of the reason for that hearing yesterday was to talk about the agency's $21 million request for its modernization project. But what lawmakers heard were grave concerns by ESSER and the IG about that IT modernization program. Now, there were news reports last week about this flash audit, but yesterday we got a chance to see the full document, and ESSER explains several real concerns about this program.
One area of significant concern that we identified is that OPM does not have a dedicated funding source for the entire project. Its estimate of $93 million includes only the initial phases of the project, which covers tightening up the security controls and building a new shell environment. The $93 million estimate does not include the cost of migrating approximately 50 major IT systems to this new shell environment. The cost of this work is likely to be substantial, and the lack of a dedicated funding source increases the risk that the project will fail to meet its objectives.
And it's not just a funding source issue. OPM didn't do some basic documentation. One of them is they didn't do an OMB Exhibit 300. Now, Tom, you know that. I know that. Everyone knows that if you do a major IT program, OMB requires you do a business case. Yet the IG says OPM did not do one. They also didn't do a feasibility study to address the scope and timeline, and they don't even have a high-level test plan in place, according to the IG's report. The audit also questions OPM's decision to award what the IG is calling a sole-source contract to a vendor for the first two stages of this four-stage project. The flash audit doesn't name the contractor, but the IG says OPM should recompete or at least compete the third and fourth phases of the project under a new contract. So ESSER was clear, OPM is making some progress. He was not all negative. But I think as Boozman and others say, this is a management problem that OPM needs to fix first before they can go back and ask for more money. Now, Boozman says he's not calling for Archuleta to resign or anything like that quite yet. He wants to find more information. But these are of grave concern. And when you're asking for more money, why didn't you use the money that you had to fix the systems that you could fix? Now, OPM did respond and said that, yes, there are some modern systems, but there are some back end that they're connected to that would not have accepted or easily accepted the cyber protections as we know them. Tom, we posted a link to that flash audit from the OPM IG on federalnewsradio.com. People can read it. It's a quick read, and it's quite interesting and quite compelling.
All right, Jason, quick question. Is there any expectation or fear that there's an Edward Snowden in the midst here causing all this? I mean, a lot of roads cross in the same place.
You know, that has not come up. That has not. No one has said, well, this can be directly linked back to. No,
I don't mean him in particular, but right. Some kind of an insider like this.
There's been no discussion about that at all. Now, in the end, I guess the FBI is still investigating. We know that. DHS is part of that investigation. I guess that's something that could come up, but really no one's mentioned it at all in both the hearings that I've covered.
All right. Well, if I can think of it, I'm sure somebody else has. So watch that one. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that complete update.
Thank you, Tom.